Well, welcome to Schenectady Today. I'm Ann Perilli, your host, and with me I have Wanda Fisher, and you have been with the Hudson River Sampler on WAMC for how many years?
Almost 37. In September, it'll be 37. It's just amazing.
It's amazing, and it just keeps on going, right?
Yeah, and I have 4 years of radio and another before we moved here, so I'm chugging over 40.
Yeah, but how great. And I love your shows, and I'm sure that many people have listened to them over the years. What got you interested in folk music?
Well, I grew up in a house. My father was from the South, and he went to school with three members of the Carter family,
the famous Carter family.
In southwestern Virginia. So he was friends with Joe, June, and Jeanette Carter.
June was the daughter, right?
June was one of the daughters and of Maybelle.
Yeah.
And he was very good friends with Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. And that was the music that was playing in my house when I was born. So that's where it started.
It just transitioned. Yeah,
it's in the DNA.
Yeah, it is. And I've always been a fan of that kind of music, you know, the gospel music and many of the other Appalachian tunes in that. And
I saw you at the Tom Paxton, Don Juan's concert.
So
that was a great concert. It was right here in this building.
Wasn't it wonderful?
It was great.
Tom Paxton, I saw him years, probably 40, 50 years ago, mm-hmm. when he was at SPAC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was like he was the second banana on the thing, and it was like we couldn't wait till the big show was over so I could see my text.
Well, and he's over 80.
Yeah.
And as you know, Judy Collins and Joan Baez is 77, I think.
Yeah,
and
they
still keep going, and their voices are beautiful.
Yeah.
Still.
Exactly. And I guess you just like Tony Bennett; his voice just keeps getting better. But one of the things we want to talk about, because when I talk to Wanda, she says, "Oh yeah, and I've written a book too." But let me back up before the book. We're going to talk about the book called Empty Seats. Before that, I want to talk about an award that you received, an international award recently. So
yes.
Let's just talk about that briefly.
Okay. I'm part of the Folk Alliance International, which is about 10,000 people in this organization. And they're based in Kansas City, but every 6 years they have their conference, their annual conference in Canada.
Okay.
And this year they had it in Montreal. And they inducted me into the Folk DJ Hall of Fame.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, and congratulations.
And
you certainly deserve it.
There's one little fine point here. There are 9 people in the Folk DJ Hall of Fame now, and another guy that was inducted this year is a guy named Matt Watroba from Detroit. And years ago, I made a CD, and one of the cuts on it features, it's about music on the radio, and I had Matt Watroba sing with me on this. And so it was really funny that the both of us
of
were
the
inducted.
9 people, 2 of them.
And we were inducted the same year.
Oh, my God.
So it was kind of funny that both of us were inducted in the same year. He's from Detroit. And so we.
What a wonderful honor.
It was a great thing.
So I was surprised when you told me you had written a book, because I think of you as music, you know. So when you said, I've written a book, and I go, oh, yeah, it's probably about folk music. No, it's about baseball.
It's about baseball.
Tell me you love baseball.
I have loved baseball since I was about 8 years old. I come from the Boston area, so of course my team is the Boston Red Sox. And my father didn't like baseball, my grandfather didn't like baseball, my mother didn't like baseball, and I started listening to baseball on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just started listening and started to try to imagine. And they spoke a language I didn't understand. You know,
could shut your eyes and you could see that ball field.
Exactly.
If they were good.
And they were good. And I, you know, I was trying to figure out, well, what do they mean by double play? And what do they mean by this? And I never had even seen a baseball field. So I asked my father to drive me down to a baseball field so that I could get an idea
of what the field
what did
like.
The diamond look like, you know? And then I said, okay, so now I get it a little bit. And then I started listening more to the radio. And then I would say to my uncle, okay, so what does it mean by a double play? Well, that means they get 2 people out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how do they do that? Well, and he would kind of tell me what it was. Okay, so what does it mean by an on-deck circle? You know,
I never heard that one. What is an on-deck circle?
An on-deck circle is the next person that's going to bat. is over on the side warming up with
his
back.
Oh, okay. I never heard that term.
So as I started getting older and older and started, we didn't have these on TV in the black and white days back then. So and then they started showing the games on TV. So I decided back in the 60s that I was going to be a sports writer. A sports writer. That's what I was going to be.
You are an amazing woman, Wanda
Fisher. So I was going to be a sports writer. So I ran into a guy who played center field for the Los Angeles Angels. I think they were the Los Angeles Angels then. And I was walking. I used to go to games by myself at Fenway Park if nobody would go with me.
Sure.
So I was walking by back to Kenmore Square to get back on the train. And back then, it took, from my home in Weymouth, it took 2 buses, a train, and a trolley to get to Fenway Park. And sometimes it would take 2 hours to get there. And then you had to reverse it and go home.
You had to go back home.
So I ran into this guy, and I recognized him. His name is Rick Reichhardt. And I stopped him, and I was talking to him, blah, blah, blah. I know who you are, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I'm getting ready to look at colleges, and I want to become a sports writer. And he stopped me, and he said, you seem like such a nice girl. And I said, okay. And he said, I just want to let you know that if you decide to pursue this, the guys don't want women in the locker room.
Yeah.
They don't want women in the clubhouse.
And you were that age where this was never going to happen.
Right. So, I mean, this is 1965.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay? It wasn't going to happen then.
So I said, okay. He said, if you decide to pursue this, you are going to have to develop a very thick skin.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. And he said, no, I'm just telling you, like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't mean to discourage you. Now, this is a guy who was somebody who had gone to college, and then he played ball. So I went home, and I did what we did back then. I wrote him a letter. And I said, thank you very much. I will consider what you said, and I really appreciate it. So he writes me a letter back, and he said, you know, I don't want to discourage you, but I want to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
So that was 65. So then we get into the Vietnam War. We get into civil rights movement, and I went a different way. So I decided...
Folk music was right there.
It was right there. And I had my little guitar, and I was playing in the coffee houses in Boston.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said to myself when I retired from my day job, that I was going to write a book about baseball. So I just started.
And you did. It's called Empty Seats.
Just started writing it.
And where can they get this, by the way?
You can get it at the Open Door.
Open Door, okay.
You can get it from me at wandafisher.com.
Yeah, yeah, good.
And the Open Door has
I'm enjoying the book.
Copies.
I really am.
And the other thing is that I tracked down Rick Reichhardt after I finished this book. And I said to him, I've got this book, and I mention you at the end of it. And he goes, oh, that's fine. So now his friend, Tim Mead, from the Angels, is coming to head the new the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown next month.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
And so he said to me, "Write Tim Mead a letter and tell him that you know me," which I did. And yesterday on WAMC, Ian Pickus had an interview with Tim Mead the new.
It's amazing. It's just incredible.
It's just incredible. So I wanted to set this book in 1972. It's about 3 pitchers who are drafted to play with the Montreal Expos. And they're champions from their hometown. And they find out that everybody else is a champion.
And that's what happens a lot of times with different sports.
But the one thing I want to say is that life gets in the way.
Yeah, it does.
And the other thing is that I said it in 1972 because I didn't want them to have cell phones.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because I wanted them to solve their problems on their own.
On their own, without.
And you know, so this book just came. It wrote itself.
It's very good. I have to say that I was astonished when she said baseball, but she's an excellent writer. The book really does make you get a good feel of baseball and what it's like for these baseball players. I'm really enjoying it.